Another weekend, y'all know what day it is. It's Freedom Friday. Yes, woo. Yes, it's Friday, y'all. I know some of you stand up clapping right about now because I know y'all happy. Oh man, I know I'm happy. It's Friday. All right. Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and man, it's Freedom Friday. And we're going to be recapping everything we've gone over this week. And then, you know, we probably introduce a couple of new, some new topics also. So, Freedom Friday is just freedom. You know what I mean? So I'm looking for another outstanding rock and rolling type of show. Yes, I am. Man, I tell you, it's such a beautiful day here, and I'm just feeling, there's no roof on my ceiling right about now. I'm outside the box, no roof on the ceiling. I'm just floating in the atmosphere. Uh-huh. Hey, y'all come join me. I'm telling you, man, it's a beautiful view from up here. Okay, I'm not going to tell anybody else that. Wow. Man, you know what I realized, though? I don't care how bad you feel. You know, I don't care how bad you feel. If you take and put on some good music that's going to make you dance a little bit, man, I'm telling you, it's like you forget all about your troubles, man, because the music just takes it away. Whether it's classical, you know, country, jazz, you know, 60s and 70s music, R&B, hip hop, whatever it is. Music is just like that medicine that just makes your soul move, just helps you to relax. And it's so beautiful. So beautiful. Oh my goodness, so beautiful. So anyway, so we're here and we're gonna have some fun today. And I hope everybody enjoy the show. So, now, let's see. I guess it's that time, y'all. It's that time to bring this lady in. And this lady, she's a very important part of my show. And I don't care who don't like her, how they don't like her. She's my co-host, and I will back up. And don't make us come at you together, man, because we come together, y'all in trouble. I'm telling you because, ooh, Lord. She gonna beat you up with words. See, that don't work. I'm just gonna hit you in the head with something. I ain't gonna lie. I'm gonna hit you. I ain't got time to be talking to you all day. Oh wow! But anyway, let me bring my beautiful co-host in, Sister Ngoni.
I gotta stop laughing first. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. And hey, what you laughing about?
Well, I just got tickled, and I really appreciate you, and I just love how you're always so upbeat and happy, and thank you for having my back, because there's some, you know, there's some days, boy, when I really appreciate you being there for me. I really do.
All righty then, see. Y'all see how laughter is contagious, I tell you. Hey, well, I'm just telling the truth, you know, hey. See, you killing me with words. Oh. I come hitting over the head with something. I ain't going to be talking too long. You know, I have to save my breath for important things, more important things. So I ain't going to be messing with them too much. Oh, man, I tell you.
And all it's right, so true. Laughter is contagious. It really is.
Yes, it is. You know. So how's the weather out there where you are?
Oh, we have a whiteout day. They've been spraying chemtrails on us, geoengineering in effect today, but it's still good. I got the window open. It's not chilly or anything. So, you know, other than the gray, whited out sky, it's all good.
Oh, it's all good? Okay. Well, you can't beat that. You cannot beat that. All right, let's see. Let's give our shout-outs real fast. We got Divine Design in the chat room. Guest 948-950-962-963. Nick Muse, and then we all need Jesus. We got those. Welcome to the show, y'all. I hope y'all enjoy it. And let's see, on the switchboard, we got 2275. Hey. So, you know, I hope everybody getting ready for a good show. Oh, man. You know, you sent me those clips, and I'm still trying to upload them. And, man, I tell you, they are just driving me crazy. For some reason, they're taking a long time. So we hopefully before the middle of the show, I have them uploaded, and we can we'll go with that. You know, because those were pretty good clips too. You know, especially one with the Dr. Frances Welsing. Is that how you pronounce the name, Welsing?
Yeah, she's a practicing psychiatrist.
Yes, that was real good. So I'm gonna try and get those downloaded and. Upload it rather in a few. All right, y'all ready for the I don't know, should we do the rules or should we wait for a moment? I think we're going to do the rules.
Oh, I'll follow your lead.
All right, well, y'all, we've been going to knock the rules out because I think, you know, everybody kind of understanding, you know, we're not playing no nonsense anymore. All right, so here's the rules for Let's Talk. On this show, we encourage open dialogue and we like to hear everyone's opinion. And we do mean everyone. We like to hear what's on your mind. You know, we love for you to contribute to the conversation. We really do. However, please respect everyone's time to speak. In other words, do not over-talk each other or talk over each other. Respect their mic time because we're going to ask them to respect yours. So please respect us. Don't be talking over each other, okay? Now, in the same sense, you know, make your comments as short and to the point as possible. Now, because some of y'all get on there and y'all talk a long time. And you know what? And then you don't make a point at all. You just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. You know, and that's just crazy. So, you know, please keep your responses and comments short and to the point so other people get a chance to talk also. No personal attacks are allowed at all. None. You can attack the topic, a comment someone made, but you cannot attack the person individually. That is not allowed on this show, and you will be dealt with. Believe that. You know what I mean? We all adults, and we should be able to conduct ourselves in an adult manner. All right. And of course, there's no use of the N word, no use of the B word. We're not calling anybody hoes. All right. We are adults here. We will have an adult conversation. You know, if your vocabulary is just that limited, well, maybe you need to listen a little bit more and find other words. You know, we'll introduce you to some words that you can use. Okay. But no, none of that is allowed on the show. And one other big thing, if you should happen to have been on someone else's show and you have beef with that person, don't come on my show with it. All right. Well, I don't want to hear it. We don't gossip about beef. We don't have BTR gossip on Let's Talk. We don't do that. So if you got beef with them, you go back to their show and then you squash that beef. Don't come on here with it because we're not having it. Okay? Once again, you will be dealt with accordingly. All right. So those are the rules of the show. Hope everybody abide by it nicely because, hey, it is what it is. All right? Co-host, you got anything you want to add?
No, I think the quote is going to add another little bit to it, but I think you did cover it very well.
All right. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's see. Now, y'all, if you want to be a part of the show, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com, or you can join us in the chat room where the conversation is always off the chain. So just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk, and come on and jump in the chat room, and you get your conversation on. Now, let me explain something to you. If you're coming as a guest, okay, you won't be able to actually type anything in the chat room. You'll only be able to read. Now, if you want to type something, you know, go ahead and come in with a username, and you have full capability of the chat room. All right, so I think that is all taken care of. Now, it's that time, y'all. It's that time. Okay. It's that time. It's that time for us to get our boogie on. Now, see, here it is. you know, here's the music, y'all, and it's going to make you move a little bit. If not, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. You must not have a pulse, all right? And, you know, usually I give y'all like 4 or 5 song montage. But today, I'm telling you, I partied so hard last night, I couldn't decide on the songs to use. So I only brought 2 songs to the show today. That's it, just 2. But I guarantee you these 2 are going to have you moving. If not, well, you know, I don't know what to say about you. I don't know. Get the glue off. So without further ado, y'all, I'm going to bring it to you for the next 6 minutes. Here it is, your Friday Music Mix.
Yeah.
Tell that Mustang, Sally was riding that Mustang. Wasn't she, y'all? She was riding that Mustang. My goodness. Woo! Like I said before, if you said anywhere, just stood there and listened to that, something ain't right, man. Because the beat alone just make you move. We had Junior Walker and the All-Star Shotgun. Woo! And then we followed that up with Mustang Sally by the Commitments. Oh, man. But did you hear that piano and that organ in there? Oh, it sounded so, so sweet. I'm telling you, man. Ooh, golly. I worked up a sweat around here dancing to that dang old thing. But that was your Friday music mix. I hope y'all enjoyed it, because I know I did. Okay, I need to calm down once again. Get the brakes on. Stop. Hold. Okay. All right, I'm good now. All right, y'all. Boy, I tell you, I was really partying in, but I felt good. All right, my co-host is she right here. What you think about that mix there, co-host? Did you do some chair dancing?
I sure did. I enjoyed that very much. That was nice.
Did you do the mashed potato and the swim and the
that brought back old memories.
I know. I'm not going to tell everything, but yeah. I know I was in here doing it like, yeah. and started bumping with somebody, but it didn't work. And wasn't nobody here to bump with. But anyway. All right, y'all. This is Let's Talk. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and my co-host, Sister Ain't Going the Aisle with you today. And it's Freedom Friday, Freedom Friday. And we're going to be recapping all the topics that we went over this week and hopefully maybe introduce some new ones. So if you got anything on your mind you want to bring in, just give us a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, eriklesstalk@gmail.com. Or as I say, join us in the chat room. www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk, all one word. All right, now, but that is what it is. It's about that time, y'all. It's about that time for us to drop some more knowledge on you, because, you know, we always put something in your mind for you to think of. So I got my beautiful co-host here. I know she ready. She got something deep, deep, deep and intellectual and philosophical for you, and we're going to get to it here right about now. So without further ado, y'all, here it is, your quote of the day.
Aggression is inherently destructive of relationships. People and ideologies are pitted against each other, believing that in order to survive, they must destroy the opposition. That quote is by Margaret J. Wheatley.
Wow. Uh-oh. I think I heard something then. Ooh, aggression is inherently destructive of relationships. People and ideologies are pitted against each other, believing that in order to survive, they must destroy the opposition. Wow. You know, and Margaret J. Wheatley, man, I tell you, look out now. You know, I'm reading that quote right there, and I guess the first things that really pop out is aggression inherently destructive. You know what I mean? It's like those three words together in a sentence just says in trouble all the way around. I may be jumping the gun, but that's what I think. What you think, co-host? You mean you got aggression?
I think you're absolutely right. and look who we have in the house. I think aggression is inherently destructive of relationships. And I think it's always good when we point out those kind of things to offer something that, you know, can point us in a different direction. So I couldn't hold myself back. You know how once in a while I throw two together.
Uh-huh.
We can improve our relationships with others by leaps and bounds if we become encouragers instead of critics. And that's by Joyce Myers.
Okay. You done doubled up on me today, huh?
Yeah, you know, I hope you don't mind.
No, you know, I never mind. We can improve our relationships with others by leaps and bounds. It will become encouragers instead of critics. We become encouragers if we become, okay. Wow. Wow. You know what? But we can read that all along, but what is it going to take for us to make people actually act that way? You know?
I don't think you can make other people act that way. The only thing we can do, I think, is take personal responsibility for learning and growing one by one. And what other people choose to do is a reflection of them. They have to live with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess you do have a point there. You do have a great point. But can't we kind of, I guess that goes back to the old saying, you can lead them to water, but you can't make them drink, right?
That's true, and, you know, like we have our guidelines for the show, and I think we've made a lot of progress in having very interesting conversations, and I'm happy to see Divine Design's comment in the chat room that she loved the show yesterday, and I hope everyone else has been enjoying the show. I certainly have. It's very nice when we can talk with one another without the aggression and inherently destructive attitudes you know, that we have encountered previously.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Wow. Okay. I got you. Ooh. Yeah, that hum is killing. It's killing right now. But it's okay.
So let me go ahead and mute myself out until they go away, okay?
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Y'all multitasking here and just going crazy. We all need Jesus said, I thought of freedom and slavery. Oh, really? Freedom and slavery, huh? Ah, okay. But you know what? Even if you think of freedom and slavery, it still is no good unless individuals themselves work toward being responsible. You know, and it's really interesting here. All right, y'all, the phone lines are open. 347. Yes.
I have removed myself from that part of the house, and do you hear any hum now?
No, I don't.
Okay, so I'll be right back.
Okay. Okay, while she's getting this stuff together, let me give some shout-outs to the latecomers to the show. Ava, Indiana, Enjoying Life, Impact 2, Zale's Child, of course, and let's see, we got Vernon. Then called in also, so welcome to the show, y'all. And what did I say? Today is Freedom Friday, and we talk about, basically, we're going to talk about what we talked about, a recap of the topics we talked about earlier in the week, and then hopefully bring some new things on also.
Eric?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm back, but I'm away from the computer, so I can't see the panel. I can't help you with that until the equipment leaves.
Okay. That's no problem. Okay.
So are we going to summarize what we talked about the last 3 days or so? We'll see.
Yes,
Tuesday,
ma'am.
Wednesday.
Yes,
four
ma'am.
Days.
We are 4 days, right? 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So yes, ma'am.
How about we recap, if can you remember the titles with the, you know, we have some new people I saw in the chat room. I think it would be helpful if we could just summarize maybe by the title, that kind of give us some organization, or you just want to freelance it?
Oh, let's freelance it. Let's freelance. Because, you know, it's in the archives, y'all. You know I got short-term memory problems. It's in the archives. So this whole week has been on relationships. You know, it has been on relationships and the different facets. Well, we talked about feminism and what else we talked about? Black and white,
well, I think,
you know, interracial dating. You know, we talked about a whole lot of stuff this week. So basically it's all been, it has all been relationship based. So
and the dynamic of, I think your Tuesday title was white meat or dark meat?
Right. That was it.
And then we extended the next day with
uh-huh.
the same title. Then the third
right.
day about feminism?
Feminism,
that? That
that's
was...
right. Yeah, feminism. Uh-huh. That was it. Yeah, because
right.
we didn't do
so
a show for
were... mm-hmm.
Right.
So I thought that there was some central points that stuck out in my mind. And I tried to find out, well, what is the real issue? And I came up with the idea that the real issue in all of the discussion is the idea of power over others. And, I, you know, especially when I thought about the clip you played entitled The Wall of Silence, and also the part of the discussion about veto power. So that's where I came to the idea that the issue is really power over others, or the you know, the argument is really about power over others. So what do you think about that, Eric? That makes sense to you?
You say the power over the others, right? Power over others.
Power over others. It seemed like the argument was about, okay, there was men's issues with black women. We talked about, you know, why black women wanted to support the feminist movement when those issues, you know, some felt didn't really relate to, you know, the black family and their issues. And there was talk about how black women were lured to support the white feminist movement, which they had issues with being stuck in the home and were really competing with their men for power in this society. That's power, you see, power over others, or the effort to level the playing field as far as sharing power.
So I see what you're saying.
When a woman is pregnant, there was the conversation about why, when a woman has the last say-so, whether she wants to have a baby or not, or carry the baby to full term or whatever, that there was expressed that it's unfair to men, that they have no say-so. But then Mr. International did bring up the point that, in reality, they do have input into the decision, but it's after the fact. After they determine what the answer of the woman is going to be, then they have recourse to be able to, I guess, sue or establish their right to be a part of that decision in the court.
Well, now see, you don't went and hit it already. You done hit it already. My. You know what? And here's my thing on that. I have to kind of. I hate to say this. Nah, I kind of agree with Joe on this one. You know, when it comes to that particular part of it, I really think that is not fair to men at all, because no matter what the man wants, the final decision lies with the woman. You know, I there's no way around saying it. You know, even if the woman says, if the guy says, no, let's keep it, I keep the child, and we ain't got to worry about it, you know, I got it. You know, the woman, she can say at the last minute, no, I'm going to go ahead and get rid of it, because I really don't want it. And bam, the decision is is done, and the process is done. So the guy, and he's standing there looking like, well, dang, I really didn't have a choice anyway. Although, you know, some would make you believe that the guys have a choice. Guys really don't have a choice when it comes to stuff like that, because the woman has the final decision. And, I mean, that's the way the laws are set up. Even in with CPS is the same way. You know, so it's one of those how can I put it? One of those catch-22 type of things. You know what I mean? See, like Zell's child says, the woman doesn't even have to tell the guy she may be pregnant. You know? But now, see, and that's another thing. You know, and you do have women out there that do that, and then 5, 6, 7 years down the line, when they get in a bind, and if they know, they send in the guy a dang-on order for child support, and the guy never knew anything about the child. Well, he may have taken care of his financial responsibility before he even got to that point. But see, women have hold those cards like that, and a lot of them play those cards because they know they are in control of that specific type of scenario. That's my thoughts.
I hear what you're saying, and I don't disagree with anything that you said, because I know in reality that does happen. And yes, a woman doesn't have to tell a man that she's pregnant, and he might never know about it, and she may make the decision totally on her own, and I don't think that's fair. But you see, then I know what I'm about to say applies in an ideal world, and this is a very complex situation. But I think what Mr. International was trying to interject in the conversation is that if a guy is taking responsibility for his actions, that he has a right to insist that he be included in that decision. Now, granted, what you just said is true. It doesn't always work that way, because there's other ways that women that aren't being responsible and fair to the men can get around allowing that man to be a part of the decision. So I'm agreeing with you, okay? But what he was trying to point out is, you see, there's another element, and that's the state. And what he was pointing out, as I understood it, is that men have to stop allowing the state, and women also have to stop allowing the state to rule our lives, because that's what's happened. The state has interceded in our decisions about bringing forth life, getting married, staying married, and generally how we live. Do you agree with that, or just?
Well, you know, now you say the state. Well, you know, here's the thing with the state. A lot of times the state gets nowhere involved until someone brings the state into your business. You know, I'm just going to put it out there, you know. And when it gets to that point, it's too late. It's too late. You
okay,
know,
let
it,
me
it really is.
Let me ask the question. Let's just say hypothetically, okay?
Okay, hypothetically.
A woman got pregnant and she did the right thing, and she let the man know that she's pregnant. And the man wants to keep the child. The man wants to get married, but she doesn't want to get married, and she doesn't want the baby. Why can't, at that point, the state can be a help? Because the man now can file so that he can have a hearing and be a part of making the decision as to what's
okay.
going to happen to that.
Okay, here's something. Here's what's wrong with that right there. Number one, she don't want the baby, and the guy knows it's his child, right? Why does the state have to be in it at all? She just give him his child.
Okay, that could happen in an ideal world, but we're talking about men having more rights than what they say they have now, which they're not using in some cases. They're complaining that the woman has veto power. And all
right.
I'm doing is just point out that they could step up and demand to be a part of that decision. Now, it's not always going to work that way, because I already conceded to the fact that if a woman's not being fair about it, she doesn't even have to tell the man she's pregnant, and she can go have an abortion, and he never even know about his seed. Okay?
Mm.
So
mm-hmm.
But see, to me, the issue is about, first of all, men and women taking responsibility for their actions, basically, and being fair with one another in those type of situations. And I know it doesn't always happen that way. It doesn't. I know that. But we've talked about, you know, what a solution could be so men won't feel that they are totally being stepped on and that they have, you know, that the woman has veto power, as it was stated yesterday, and that they're just out in the cold. So that's the only reason why I brought that in. And now this wall of silence video, that one was really troubling to me. Now, what is this about? Would they want to start war with black women or what?
No, it has nothing to do with that. What they're basically saying, I see we have a caller with their hand up, so we'll get to you in a moment. No, basically what this wall of silence is saying, black women are the more black men try to talk to black women and help them to understand what's going on, the more they turn away and shun the black man. And the wall of silence is eventually the black man is going to stop talking to them at all, you know, as far as trying to explain things to them, you know, trying to deal with them. And that is what the wall of silence is all about. You know, it's like, okay, we've done all we can now. Enough, you know, ain't no more to say. It's not any more to say. And that's basically what the wall of silence is talking about.
Well, you said men are trying to explain to women what the problem is, and so, and you said something else too, and I kind of got distracted reading the chat room. You said that men feel like they have to explain to women what's going on, and they're getting tired of trying to explain it to them, and pretty soon they're saying they're just going to stop talking to black women. That sounds like a declaration of war to me.
Well, you know what? It's already a declaration of war anyway. It's a gender war, and that started. And I think we talked about this earlier this week. That started with the feminist movement, and as it has gone on, and women have become more successful, you know, that gender war has gotten larger, and so now it's to the point to where it's It's just there, and nothing else, and you know, nothing else, you know, basically can be done until everybody sit down and realize that, you know, we're going to have to work together. Because you have to look at it with feminism. When feminism kicked in, you know, and as it got, we got more technologically advanced, and, you know, we started getting all our college degrees, when more women became more goal or career oriented than back in the day. So what that mean? That means this. No, they start making money. They moving up the ladder. Ooh, okay. And, you know, things like that is basically where friends with benefits came from. I'm just going to put it on out there. Because most of these women, they didn't want to be in a relationship. They didn't want to have any children. And the only thing they felt like they needed a man for sometimes was sex. That was it. You know, most of them say, I got my Bob. I got my little plastic toy. And I'm good, so I really don't need a man. You know, so, and that's when, and then, you top all that off, then you had the gay agenda pop up and start kicking real hard. Now that's a whole nother barrier that's put in between men and women. You know.
Well, let me ask you, who benefits from this?
No one's benefiting, and that's the issue.
Somebody is benefiting. Oh yes, someone is.
Okay, I must miss the, who's benefiting.
Well, I think when you play the clip, I don't want to say who's benefiting, but I think when you play the clip, it'll come out who's benefiting from this.
All right. Well, let me get this call in. They've been waiting patiently. So let me get them on the line, then we'll go ahead and play that clip again. All right. All right. Let's see. Welcome to the show, 4526.
Hi. This is Shasta.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, hello, how you Shasta. Doing, Mr. Eric?
I'm doing
fine. Awesome.
Where are you
so
calling
I've
us from today?
Temple, Texas.
Okay. All right. I just said okay. So, but anyway, go for it.
I actually wanted to hit up a couple of points that y'all been discussing. One is the state. Most of the time, the state doesn't have a say-so, I agree, Mr. Eric, unless the woman ask the state to have a say-so. The state is just not going to interfere in people's relationships and tell people what to do. Now, when the woman requests assistance to a man and says, hey, I'm pregnant by this man and he's refusing to take care of my child, that's when the state steps in and says, hey, okay, we can't do that. If you want to draw child support on this man, we're going to require that he have child support given to you, and we're going to make sure we conduct an investigation behind this and make sure that man pay or he's going to jail. Otherwise, there are many couples who have children that don't have to deal with the state at all. So that's that woman's doing if the state had anything to do with it. I also would say, as far as the man's standpoint and the man wanting the child, a man is going to have to understand when he starts speaking with a woman in terms of a sexual relationship what her goals are, whether or not she's wanting children at all. And I think those are one of the most important conversations to start out with a woman or a man when you're dating or becoming into what we young people call a cut buddy type relationship. Y'all should have had that conversation. You know, where's your life stand right now? What do you want out of life? No kids? Okay, then I already know where it's at. But without that conversation, then, you know, we already pregnant, and now we having it. That's the wrong time to have it. I do want to say God is missing in a lot of this, because if he had God in his life and she had God in her life, then we would know that the child is a gift to begin with. And so we probably wouldn't be having some of these conversations that we have. I will also say that as far as a man is concerned, I don't really think he has any power to tell a woman to go have a baby. Even if that woman is pregnant, if she decides she doesn't want to have that child, that's her complete decision. The government then raised their hands up off of that too. We don't have a law that says just because a woman's pregnant, she got to go through with that pregnancy. If that woman decides that she's got goals and she's business-oriented and that's not what she wants in her life right now, hey, like I say again, the government's hands is off of that. That woman can do whatever she sees fit for her life.
Forget the government. Forget the government. What about the man himself? See, and this is what we'll talk about right here. What about the man?
And I'm going back to that. What about the man? Like I said in the beginning, with him having any type of sexual relationship with this woman, if he wanted kids at all or foresaw kids in his future, when he's talking to this woman, that's one of the things they would have discussed with each other. You know, I don't have any children, I want some, or I have a few children and I'd like to have two or more children, you know, with the woman that I'm talking to. So that way she understands and he understands what the goal is in this. So if a child comes out of this, she understands this man's going to want this child because he's already communicated to me that he would like another child. So at that point, they need to decide whether or not that's a go or whether or not it's not. Like, personal, like me personally, I can't have any more children. So being that I'm 29 and I can't have any more, when I talk to a fella that I'm sexually, you know, interacting with, I let him know I can't have any more kids. So if you're trying to be in a relationship with me, just understand there's not going to be any kids that come from this. And I've had many guys say, oh, well, you know, you're not what I'm looking for. And then they go their own way. But it comes a time for that conversation to come about, and I believe it's in the beginning. Don't wait till the situation comes about to then decide what you want and what you don't want. Whatever happened to having that conversation in the beginning so you know what you're getting yourself into.
But you know what? Well, here's the thing. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, co-host.
I'm confused. How you doing, sister?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you.
That's good. Well, I'm confused because I hear you saying that a man and woman should have that conversation up front so they know exactly, you know, what's going on in each other's lives. And I agree with that. But then you say that, well, last say, and the man don't have any say-so in it if she don't want to have that baby. And let me straighten another thing out before I shut up so you can respond. What I was saying earlier was not suggesting that the state is going to volunteer and come in and mediate between a man and a woman. But like Joe said in the chat room, actually the state is already was if a man didn't agree with the woman's decision about his seed, that the state would be a place where he could go to get a hearing or get mediation so that he could have a voice in that decision in a perfect world, which we know it's not. So I just wanted to clarify that. But I'm confused about, okay, a man and woman should be responsible to sit down and talk about it, and then if something happens, they both know where each other's coming from. But at the same time, you're saying, but never mind about what we talked about because I got the last say-so, so he don't count.
I wouldn't say that he doesn't count, but if he counted, if he meant anything at all in terms of them two, we would have known what he meant in the beginning. That's her. That's like her telling him from the get. I don't want no more kids. So you already knew what the deal was before we got along with this. So don't wait until I get pregnant to then want to have a say-so and say, oh, well, we're going to keep that baby. And I'm going to go contact whoever I got to contact, and we're going to have a hearing about you keeping it. Are we talking about the baby already being here or her being pregnant with the child? You can't make a pregnant woman have a child just because you want her to.
I'm more confused now. But that's all right.
I think my question to you is whether or not we're talking about the child already being here or this woman being pregnant with a child. I mean, the way that we stand in the law now, you're not going to make a woman have a child no matter who you go get and what hearing you have. They're not going to make that woman lay on the table and have a baby just because that man feels like that's his right for his seed to reach the world.
I don't know what they're going to do, and I don't know if there haven't ever been any cases challenged like that, so I'm not going to say you're right or wrong. My point by bringing that up was because yesterday the discussion was that men feel like they're left out in the cold and the final decision, and Joe was specifically saying that women have the veto power, and you're saying it too, that you're saying on one hand that we men and women should talk about it and know what they're and be responsible for their actions, but at the same time, if the woman don't have the baby, oh well, too bad, as far as the guy is concerned.
So I'm confused that where you're confused. I pretty much set that out. If we've talked in the beginning, which that talk needs to be had before we become sexually connected to each other, I need to know what your views are on having children at all. I'm not going to wait until we get a hole in the condom and now I'm pregnant to say, oh, well, did you want kids? Because I don't. We don't need to wait till then.
Well,
we need to talk about that before the fact.
I agree with you, and I wasn't speaking about that situation.
So I'm lost. So where's the whole, as far as a woman having veto power, I think the only way that she has power is the fact that if she gets pregnant and this seed is inside of her, as a woman, you have the right to have or to not have that child. And that's the way that it's set in the world today. Even with Obama being the president, ain't nothing changed in the law that says a woman got to go have a baby just because this man is saying she needs to go have it. And if I get pregnant and I've discussed it with, if I get pregnant myself, and I discuss it with this man that I'm with in the beginning, as I would, and say, hey, you know, I'm not looking to have any more kids. You know, I've actually got this degree. I've been working for a long time, and there are things that I want out of life, so I'm not looking to have a child. So now we become pregnant, and I'm like, you know, I don't really want to have this baby. And this man is like, well, I want you to have it. Well, I'm going to go back to what we talked about in the beginning. You know, I thought we talked about this. I let you know I didn't want to have children to begin with. Yeah, we split up, but this is already understood between us. You know, I don't think this needs to be a war because I've already told you that this is not what I want.
Well, you kind of thrown out of several different scenarios there, and all of them are valid, but that's not what I was saying in the beginning when I spoke about it. But that's fine.
I'm still lost with veto power. A woman is going to have that power no matter what, and nothing's going to change the right for a woman to have or to not have a baby. Oh, I mean, they've got Plan B out. You got a pill that you can take the morning after. So if anything, we're giving a woman more right to say whether or not she wants to have a kid. We're not giving her less right.
The question was how to make it so that men don't feel like they have no say-so in the matter. That's what the discussion was yesterday. Perhaps you weren't here. That's what I was talking on as far as the summary of what we talked about previously.
The only way that you're going to make sure that a man has more power is for that man to be able to open his mouth to whichever woman that he becomes in sexual contact with. He needs to be able to open his mouth and say what he wants in the beginning. That's where that man has that power. Before he interjects his organ into that woman, he has the power right then. If at any time that man had power, he had it then. Before he even slept with this woman, he had the power to say what he wanted and what he didn't want. The question is whether or not he used that power and spoke up for what he wanted out of life.
Well, like I said, when I spoke about it in the first place, in an ideal world, we know it's not an ideal world. A lot of great points. So I don't have for the complaint that the men have. I was just trying to raise the question. So it sounds like you're standing on the side that the woman is the final say-so, period, 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 and that's it. And I'm not saying you're wrong for that. I'm saying that's what I'm hearing from you.
I mean, I don't know what other way you're going to see it with a woman being able to have a child. I mean, even in a perfect world, I'm confused. Are we saying that a man would be able to tell a woman, you're going to have a baby? Impregnated you, and you're going to have it.
No, but I don't know. What I was thinking about was yesterday the word came out that, you know, well, first of all, we're talking mostly in American society because, as I added, that it's not universal. You see, a woman doesn't always have veto power because in some cultures, the elders, their family, have input into what's going to happen in that situation.
Right.
Now, in America, it's different. And so that's where I was coming from in my thinking. You know, how can it, maybe it's cultural. You know, maybe.
I agree with you on that. I mean, I agree it would definitely be a cultural thing as far as this being America and this being another country. So, I mean, I agree with that. In America, it's just not going to be like that. We're a democracy. So we want to give people rights to choose whether or not to and or they don't want to. And in terms of pregnancy and in women, this is just the way it is and always has been. And because they keep inventing medicines for a woman to terminate a child, I don't think it's going to give a man any more rights. I mean, like I said, they invented Plan B for the woman to have an afterthought after she slept with you.
Right.
So
and
I don't think we're giving men any more. I don't think we're even inventing more ways for a man to have a decision over a woman. That's why
exactly.
I say it's a lack of God in it. If God was in the matter at all between this man and this woman, they would realize for a child to come about was a gift in the first place. So both him and her would realize that, hey, this is a gift we've been given between the two of us. So we're going to make it happen.
I wasn't speaking about a man having any power over a woman. I was speaking about having an equal voice in the decision and raising the question if that's possible.
I think it should be. I really do think it should be possible. I mean, I'm not against a man being able to say, you know, I want this child and I'm willing to support my child. I don't know what you're going through to where you feel like you don't want it, but if you don't want the child, I'm financially set to take care of the child myself. So you can have a baby and you can get a baby to me. And with me and my mama and my whole clan, we'll raise the baby without you.
All right, hold on for a minute. And you raised a very interesting dynamic. Now you're bringing in the rest of the family. See, that's a whole different dynamic you're talking about right there. But hold on, I'm going to bring Joe and Mr. International in also and get their take on this topic we're talking about right now. Welcome to the show, gentlemen. How y'all doing today?
Okay.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, people. Okay, let me try to make this simple. It doesn't matter if there's a discussion. The woman has the right, plain and simple, given to her by the state, even before she has a boyfriend, before she gets married, that she can do whatever she wants with the kid. So if she the scenario that you didn't bring in was that the woman says to the guy, okay, honey, I will get an abortion. The guy says, good, cool, that's the way I want it. Are you sure you're not feeling pressured? The girl says, yeah. She gets pregnant now, and Nancy changes her mind, and the guy still has nothing to say about it. That is the state interfering with the right of men and women to choose their own destiny.
Oh, you're right on that one. That's cold-blooded right there.
There you go.
You know, for these two to have to decide, you know, that's cold-blooded.
There's no such thing.
Me to have said I didn't want to have that baby, and you said we didn't have that baby, and we decided on this, and now that it's growing in you, now you've gotten close to it, and now you're like, I'm going to have it anyway. So now the man got to pay child support for a child he never wanted to have to begin with.
And which they agreed not to have.
Right.
But there
why I said it's cold-blooded.
Yeah, you got
it's
that
It's cold
right.
out here.
Okay.
Well,
that's why men want to have a say in it, because it doesn't mean that the man can force the woman to do something she doesn't want to do, because in accordance with what you're saying, and according to what everybody was talking about yesterday, people should have the right. There is no state that I know of in which a man and a woman can even put down on paper, this is what we agree to have happened in case of pregnancy, because the state disavows that. It's null and void, as far as my research has shown and as far as I've been told, which means the men have no say. And International's going to say, there's no such thing as veto power. Now I'm finished. Now, International, I'm sure you've got something to say.
Well, obviously, I have a little something to say because it's such a small topic. And so the thing is that to cover everything, it still boils down to whose power is it? Is it your power or is it my power? When you're dealing with a state, is it your power or is it the state's power? Or did you give the state your power? Did you unknowingly give the state your power? And so the thing is in a relationship, the final decision that is going to be made regarding what a woman decides she wants to happen with inside of her body and with outside of her body, that final decision of power making is with the woman. Man has no say-so. Man has no laws, rules, rights, or anything that can alter or change the power. Now, what you can try to do is you can try to make her make a different decision. Let her know there's other choices. You can do that, but you have no power to make. Otherwise, put it this way. You have a limited amount of power, which goes into the reverse of positive power, which is you could kill her and also kill your baby that's growing inside of her. But then the laws of the land, once again, you've given them more power. So you see what it is? It's not necessarily that you don't. When you're dealing with a situation like that and you're in the court and the young lady decides that she wants to be pregnant, you decide that you don't want her to be pregnant, and she's going to need support in the future, okay? All you have to do is you have to go into the courts and reserve your rights. If you know for a fact that you two had this conversation, but there's going to be a child born, you could either go ahead and make an agreement with her that you're going to help with the child in the upbringing, or she violated a verbal constitution with you as to what was going to happen, and that's really just between you two. But you do have the rights to go in the court and not give them any of your DNA. That's your personal property. They can't force you to do that right there. The Constitution and the Bill of Rights are very particular about that, about seizures and things of that nature right there. But the thing is this right here. You have to make sure that whatever it is that you really truly want, and this is where your decisions and you realize, start to realize what power is as a man, when you start to read those forms and knowing that you're giving up any and all rights to something that's growing inside of this woman right here that may be a part of you, and you want to disconnect yourself from that fetus, that woman, and that whole situation, because I just don't agree with her power of decision making. If that's how selfish you want to be, then you sign those papers and miss out on the best thing that could have ever happened to you.
Those are two different issues. Try to get that. There is one in which the baby may be born, and then there can be forms that you can sign in which the woman will agree. Now, if she doesn't agree with it, the man can't just give up his so-called rights. Then there's the other issue about the pregnancy, about whether or not the woman will allow the man, as you've already concurred, will have any rights whatsoever. So if he has no rights whatsoever about what to do with the baby, then he has no rights whatsoever. And this thing about verbal agreement, you can go into the court. You can't go into the court.
Okay, let me say something about that, because that was a good point, and that's something y'all can go to the House of Representatives with. That's like a whole new law you're talking about now, saying, hey, you know, between a man and a woman, if they don't agree that they don't want to have a child at all, this is something that they personally agreed to. He said nay, she said nay, and we signed a document. That's like a whole new law you're putting into play. Like,
well,
from here on out, men can take this document, and it actually means something in the court of law. This man said no, and she signed right beside it. She said no, too. That's a whole new law we're talking about
These topics have been discussed for generations. It's called utilitarianism, and that's what these principles and these frames of thought that men have that talk the way he talks and tries to find an answer where there is no answer other than the one that's given. So they look for another answer, and they kind of screw things up as they go along, and they get totally frustrated, and they get, you know, irate and things of this nature. But that's basically what it is. They had a lot of power. They knew what the power was, and they went ahead and put regulations, rules, statutes, and all this kind of crap into place to govern over them. But we as black men and black women, majority of us that have been raised a different way, the ones that had the mothers and fathers that used to take care of their mothers and fathers, the ones that used to clean their houses and take the back seats at the buses, we know for a fact that we were raised totally different to know what real power is and not to give anyone your real power. So throughout the media and all this type of stuff and certain types of music that they make, they've tricked the younger generation into believing that they don't have any power. So if you want some power, plug into this station, plug into this type of makeup, plug up into this type of hair. And so they got them plugging into all this stuff, and they're losing their power. They're being drained of their power, and then the old men and women, they die off, and this is a lost generation. But the ones that really truly know are going to stand up for them.
I'm going to say, okay, I do agree with the whole, if a man doesn't want to be a part of that child, going back to what Joe said as far as he's agreed he didn't want to have the child and she agreed she didn't want to have it. So if along the way she changed her mind, I don't really see it as a man having to contribute to that child once he told her that he didn't want to have it. So then we're looking at this. We're looking at him giving up the rights to that child at all, saying, you know what, I volunteer, and there's a such thing as voluntarily relinquishing your rights to that child at all. Nobody had to make me. I just said, hey, I don't want to have nothing to do with it, and I told her that in the beginning. So like you said, now he has to go see this child grow in the future, and this child becomes very successful. And you done said you didn't want to be any part of that child's life that you're doing. But he does have a right to say, hey, I never wanted that child. So what I'm going to do right now so that I don't have to, because once you relinquish your rights in some states, see, it's iffy, because I live in the state of Texas. In the state of Texas, even if you do relinquish your rights to a child, you still pay child support for that child until they're 18. So it doesn't matter what you relinquish.
And there's another thing, too. You cannot, a man just cannot say, well, I relinquish my rights. he has to have the approval of the girlfriend or of the wife. He cannot just say, going to court, well, I don't want to pay child support. I don't want to acknowledge this kid. This kid is not mine. If the kid is mine, I don't care. And then the judge is going to say, well,
hold up. That has been proven wrong.
I agree. Because I agree with you.
In the state of Kansas, remember, we talked about this on the show, where the guy donated his sperm to the two lesbians. And, you know, they broke up, and one went to seek help, and now they're forcing that guy. And they signed a contract and everything saying, you know, he didn't have any parental rights, whatever. And now the state... Mm-hmm. The state of Kansas is making this man actually pay child support.
Then you're making my case, Eric.
But you know why? You know why the state has something to say? Because she sought out the state. She went to go seek out some help. When you go seek out from the state, they want that money back. Whatever you're seeking out from me, I'm going to take it from one of y'all, and I'm going to take it from that man.
Can I say this real quick? I think what it is that, and this is why a lot of men and women think that it's the state that's in their business. It's not the state that's in your business. These are called tribunals, and you're not dealing with magistrates when you're talking about these tribunals. You're talking about attorneys and things of that nature right there that are operating, it tends to be way beyond their jurisdiction. And so the one that should be handling a court case like that is the circuit courts. And if the circuit court does not or do not have judges that are qualified to deal with that topic, then you go to federal court. And when
That's
you go
right.
to federal court, the federal
court,
most of them, they consist of five judges. Each one of these judges has a special form of law, of Supreme Court law, that they deal in. It's a certain topic. So you figure out which judge do you want to magistrate over your case. And
you don't
pick that
figure
judge.
Out which judge.
This is exactly how you exert your rights. This is what you're doing. You're doing this is if you're going to do it legally, if you want to talk about doing it legally,
this is how you do it. There is no legal anything when it comes to the woman deciding if
you're
she
in
can
a
give
tribunal. You're not dealing with the law. You're dealing with regulation.
I'm going to say on top of all of that, Joe is right. Joe is right, and that's where it ends. Joe is absolutely right. With the law that we live in today, because we all live in the United States of America, as far as I'm concerned, I guess somebody might live somewhere else. But Joe is absolutely right. No matter what you go sign and what you go draw up, in the world that we live in today, that man don't got no rights. So when it comes down to it, if she chooses, and it's a cold world out here when it comes to me, and I agree. But if that woman chooses to have that baby, then it's her choice. She had it. And if she chooses that you're going to pay for it, she can go seek out help. And that's when the state becomes involved, and the state going to say, you know what, sir, we're going to need you to give up a little bit of that DNA. And we're going to have to see if it's your baby. And if it's your baby, you're going to pay for it. And all these food stamps and all this TANF and all these government programs that we've been helping her with when you decided you didn't want to be a part, we're going to need you to pay it back, sir, because that was your seed the whole time. So in the end, the man going to lose-lose because it's a lose-lose situation.
Well, the thing is this right here. This is the thing right here. As I stated before, like you said, this is a cold world. The question is, what world are you living in? And so
the world that I know,
I'm not talking about that in that inference. I'm talking about as far as what you consider it to be a world, because really your whole conversation is based upon what has happened to me and how I've seen it affect others. So I'm just going to go ahead and agree with that this is right or that's based upon what it is that's happening with someone else. With me,
you know,
it's more
you just gobbled up the English
With me, it's more or less, I have to know for a fact what I'm dealing with. And with that comes research. I'm not going to take someone else's opinion, because an opinion is just out there. Everyone has an opinion. But the facts are far and in between. So when you know exactly what it is that you're dealing with, you keep stating that the law.
You know what? You
get laws,
sit in the court.
Hold on 1 second. I'm not even
talking
about
that. No.
You're talking about laws. Laws do
what do you
not
think
regulate
judge
but
laws.
I'm a woman, but you're talking to You're talking to a woman. We're talking about a woman right now, and you're talking to one, which means I can carry a child, and I myself have the right to have or to not have. So you're not talking just amongst me, and you're talking to a woman right now. Who I am the one that we're talking about holds all the right, if we want to inject me in that to make it more real for you. So me
in particular, I
don't have a baby with you, I can decide whether or not I want to have this child. And if you don't want to agree that this is your child and you don't want to pay for it, you best believe I'm going to interject the state and I'm going to make sure that you pay.
Okay, and what's wrong with
that?
I'm not saying
nothing is wrong with it, but as far as what you were talking about, as far as men's rights, A man doesn't have a right. He, like Joe said, he didn't have a right from the beginning. He never had a right. Sad that we live in America, but the man really never had a right.
You're not talking about rights. You're talking about choices. A right and a choice is two entirely different things.
A man has a choice. His choice means nothing. His choice means nothing. He's not the one carrying the child. He's going to have a choice.
Now, thank you. All right, hold on. Let me bring Maze in before y'all get the bang banging and hitting each other in the head. Let me bring Maze in. All right.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, Maze.
Hello.
Hi, Miss Maze.
Hello. I want to try to help with this argument that we're having. It's always a woman and a right and this and that. We have foster children. Mother and the father didn't want them. And you have some people lay down with each other. They raise the child together. They might not live together, but they both take and they never see the justice system at all. They take the child and raise. Then you got some men just walk away from their children and deny them until they get grown or they become famous, and then they want to be a father then.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, in all situations,
let me see, Joe, and you always find those people out there saying it's her fault and she has the right to do with this. Now they have the morning after pill for the woman. They have the birth control pill for the woman. But where is that responsible man before he laid down with that woman knowing he didn't want any children?
Why didn't he just keep his pants in his pants
and leave women alone? And he won't have to worry about
that. We already went over that.
We talked about that over and over again,
so why don't we discuss it?
We went over it. Yo. The whole thing that everybody's agreeing
and I,
with.
And I learned something yesterday. Mr. Talk said we were going to discuss things that we learned yesterday about the system, the reason why we do have the welfare system, which I already knew anyway. Why we do have the welfare system because the soldiers came home and denied and didn't want to take care of their children. And that's why people had to start going to court in order to take care of them.
That's why we have the welfare system.
Yeah, but that was for white. See, that was, well, we ain't even going to go into that issue. But
I'm saying if you get fixed, you don't have to worry about going to court. Now they have the morning after pill for those that want to take it. Lay down with the man the next day, and
that
you don't have to worry about nothing.
Doesn't do anything
when the woman got to go through all of these, from taking those pills and all those different things, you got to take to keep having children, you don't have to take and do nothing. Except walk around and go down the street and make another one with somebody else.
All these three and four different situations you're talking
about is
irrelevant to the
discussion
we had.
And let's talk about something else.
Maze. It was irrelevant.
That was your conversation yesterday.
Discussion.
Your conversation again.
That was yesterday. I'm talking about it's irrelevant to the discussion that's going on now. Okay?
That's why
there are people denying that a man has no rights in this discussion we've had. Now, institution or whatever his name is flip-flopped at least twice. There is nothing that gives any man any right to do anything with his kid if the woman doesn't want it to happen. Plain, simple, end of discussion.
Okay, thank you, Joe.
I'm with Joe.
I mean, it's pretty cut and dry. You know, most of the time people say there's nothing set in stone. It's just crazy because that's something that's just set in stone. It's just one of those things that there's no gray area. It's either black or white. It's either we having it or we ain't. And then when it comes to a woman, like I'm saying, either she want it or she don't want it. But it all came down to what she wanted. And no matter if they discussed it or not, like Joe brought up, they could have both said that we don't want to have this kid. If she was down with it from the beginning, oh, we ain't going to have it. I'm going to have an abortion. But once that baby started growing inside her and she began getting those mother instincts, she changed her mind. There's nothing in the law that says just because you change your mind means, oh, no, you still can't have it. They're saying if she changed her mind, that's her free will. And if she want to raise that child, she can raise it.
That's right.
And if she don't, it's a foster family somewhere that will. But that child going to reach this world one way or another.
Yes, that's why they got foster parents. And because the mother and the father, neither one of them wanted the kid.
Can I say this real quick? I think what it is getting off point for the simple fact that it's like I stated before we finish, you're discussing choices and you're discussing rights. All choices and all rights regarding whatever power the woman wants to use regarding a baby or whatever decision she chooses to make, that resides with the woman. The only legal recourse that a man has is, as I stated before, if you go before a circuit court and not a tribunal and you bring forth those issues and statutes that violate.
We don't even have that.
What is
exactly? That's what I'm trying to let you know. Now you get it. You don't have the statutes. You don't have the rights. You don't have any rights whatsoever. So who is any man to tell a woman what she should do and how she should do it unless she decides to do that? That's why this discussion is so irrelevant, Joe. That's the reason why you can't find the answer in a law book, Joe. You can't find it. It doesn't exist. And why didn't they make up a statute, a right, a law, a regulation regarding what it is that you've been...
Mr. International, you now confusing me. You got me confused now. Because on one token, you saying a man can go get this written up and go before somebody. Not in the United States. There is nowhere that whatever him and her wrote at the kitchen table. Listen to what I'm saying real quick.
Okay.
No matter what they wrote up at the kitchen table that night and what they decided, when she wake up that morning, if her mind didn't change for what they talked about last night, whatever they talked about at the kitchen table is null and void. Because that doctor going to go with whatever she said. The doctor not going to deliver the baby and say, or go through the whole system of her having an abortion and have the man and say, excuse me, sir, come on in here, sir. What'd you decide? They don't care if the man is present or not present. Oh, ma'am, you decided not to? Okay, well, we're not going to do this, sir. She said no. Let's go ahead. She's not that far along. She's within 6 months. We can do this. They're not asking the man to come in the room and ask him what he thought. So when it all boils down to it, it's a cold world, and a man doesn't have a right. The only way a man going to get a right is if he going to get pregnant today. If a man has the ability to go get pregnant and decide whether or not he want to have a baby, then that's what he got a right. But until a man can have a baby and hold on himself, that's the only time a man going to have a right to determine whether or not
he has
a baby enters into the world.
And he has the right to prove that she's an unfit mother, and he can get the right to have his child.
Yeah, right, man.
Hold on.
Thank
if
you.
He wanted it.
Let me bring Maze.
Oh,
all right.
Excuse me?
Let me bring Miss Lady in. Add some more confusion. Go ahead, Miss Lady. Come
on. For about 20 minutes. What is the issue? I think it's a circular kind of argument. It's circular. That doesn't seem like it's that complicated. It should be this complicated.
It isn't complicated.
I mean, basically, I hear some people talking about rights, some people talking about choices. Everybody knows the Lord put men to be able to have the control over a woman's body, determine a pregnancy. He was created that. If God wanted man to be able to get pregnant, have babies, he would have created that. So what's the issue, really? If you don't want any children, if you don't want to pay for a child, don't have sex with a woman. Don't have unprotected sex with a woman. That's just so simple. It's your sperm that caused a baby to be created.
That's right, which
so
means we should have some say-so.
It's our sperm, right? It's your sperm that helped create a baby, and the sperm
exactly.
created the baby. The woman has the responsibility.
Okay, I love you, Miss Lady, but I got to give it to you. Okay, because that ain't no money. Look, if my sperm helped make it, I should have a choice of making a decision, dang it. Not just say, okay, it's my sperm, I helped make it, and that's it. No.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I understand there's deadbeat moms and deadbeat dads out there. I understand that. But there are responsible men out there that will take care of the baby if they were given the opportunity. That's what we're talking about. Okay.
Like Low.
Oh,
Low.
She hung up.
But
I didn't mean for her to hang up.
They're not
Low,
given.
Low had.
They're not given the opportunity. Nobody's
the
asking
strength.
Them because nobody cares.
Yeah.
And that is the issue. It is a 30-second discussion. That's it. It is a recognition of the fact that no man has anything to say about what the woman can do with the baby. There should be nothing else except you're right.
Nobody cares. It's a sad world. No one cares about what the man thinks. If they cared, there'd probably be many more children born because these same goal-oriented, I'm not saying these men don't exist. There's probably men who could take care of the child without the baby because his mama taught him right, so he knows what he's doing when it comes down to it. There'd probably be many single fathers who didn't need a woman at all to help him take care of his daughter or his son, who had a family who stand behind him to help him do that. But like you said, nobody's asking this man what he wants.
Not a
nobody's
thing.
Nobody's asking him because nobody cares.
Then you think, you know where the energy would probably be well spent is studying the states that actually decided that a fetus inside the womb at a certain age is considered a human being.
It's got nothing to do with it. Will you stop
and find out if they can go ahead and state that that child is a human being, then obviously human beings have rights. And if you're the father,
you're bringing up a whole new topic that we're not talking
exactly.
about. Exactly.
That's a whole different
law.
But that's the only way you're going to do that.
Now you're bringing...
Thank
that's
you.
That's the only way it works.
All right. Now. Now, okay, you through, Mr. International?
What I was trying to tell them is that if you're talking about something based on what it is that's rights and things of that nature right there, then you have to do your homework and find out which states have already stated that a fetus is considered to be a human life when it's inside the womb at a certain age. And any time that they make a law, an act, or whatever it is regarding that decision that has been put on the books, then hold them accountable to it. And the way you do that is that you challenge whatever percentage is that they consider to be life, and that's your percentage. That's your say-so in the matter. If you're recognized as being the father. I mean, whatever rights and whatever power that they're telling you that's out there that may have been misguided in some way or form or whatever, you've given your own power away, they're giving some of it back to you in these little bitty pieces. It's not the big boxes that spoil the vines, but the little ones. And those little bitty things that they tell us about in little bitty increments is what we should pay attention to, not the big mass of books and things of that nature that they create. But sometimes it's just based upon common sense, which is not that common.
Okay, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you there because I'm listening. So I'll give it to you there. There are certain states, Joe, that determine whether or not a baby is full grown, and you can't. And we'll break that down because I'm a woman. If I get pregnant and I'm 7 months and I decide I don't want that kid, it's too late to abort it. It's just too late. There's so many places that won't even take you. No, we're not dealing with you. That baby's there, and you're gonna have to have it. So then when she has the baby, it comes to deciding. If she still don't want that baby and that man steps up and say, hey, you have it and you give it to me, you know, I'll take that baby. But she still has a choice, even if you get down to that. She could say, I don't want him to be the daddy.
Precisely.
I don't want him to have nothing over my child. I'd rather give my child to a foster care than let that man take care of it.
Exactly.
All right, hold on.
She can
still
say that.
Hold it. Ooh, what? What's your question before I bring Lowe in?
Okay, I have a question.
Huh? What's your question?
You bring low end. Oh, is it right for a woman to stop a man from getting a vasectomy if she's married to him or dating him?
Is it right for her?
To tell him that he shouldn't get stop him.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up.
No, no.
Well, I mean, it's just like anything. No. It, why not? It could be the conversation, just like the conversation. They can have a conversation about it.
It could be the conversation, but she can't make him get a vasectomy is the question. No,
I didn't
she
say
cannot
that.
Make
I didn't
him,
say,
just
that's
like
not
he
what
can't
I said. I didn't say that.
What'd you say, man?
You said, should they talk about it?
I said, is it right for a woman to tell a man if he wants to get a vasectomy and she don't want him to get one, and he does it because he wants to?
Why not?
It still boils down to power.
What is
a man? A man basically is a giver. A woman is a receiver. If you ask a man to have a vasectomy, and I think that you should get this and everything of the nature right there, then you're asking him, I'm telling you right now, you don't have the power anymore to be a giver. And vice versa. If a man is telling a woman that you shouldn't have this baby, you're trying to make a decision for the woman, is you telling her you don't have the power to be a receiver. So you know
Thank
what
you.
You do is, you like the young lady stated earlier, if that's what you're going to partake in, you protect yourself. Otherwise,
well,
you pull out and you do what you got to do.
You know what, Maze? Go and have a hysterectomy then. If you can tell me, go and have a hysterectomy.
That's what I'm saying. It's the argument is the
All
same.
Right,
she
then.
Can't do this
Hold
and
on.
He can't,
let
but
me,
it's never about what the man can't do. It's all about the woman.
Bring, you wanted to bring in bring, Low,
Let me
right?
bring Low in.
Okay.
Now we're going to
All
get
right,
problems.
Mr. Low, what's going on?
I thought it was a brilliant question.
Bring it on, Low.
Hello, all.
Greetings, Low.
How's everybody doing?
Good. How are you doing today?
I'm well. I was just listening, and just as I suspected,
you had a woman saying, well, let me explain because I'm a woman. And then the guys were saying something. The next thing you know, another lady came on and said, well, what about the man? I figured that you couldn't get one thing out and finish that first until before what about the man was going to show up. So please, let's try to get one thing finished first. Please. I mean, you, when you throw 10 things in a pot, you get a gumbo, but it, you can't say it's okra gumbo or chicken gumbo or what if you don't start from the basics and say, hey, I'm going to start from right here, and I'm going to establish this. So let's get one thing established first. Mr. International, what is your stance on, I'm not in your business, but I don't know if you're a single guy, married, or whatever. If you were to be in a relationship with a woman and you're not married to her and she says, oh, I'm pregnant, what is your stance on that? I'm not asking for statistics. I'm asking for your answer.
Okay, well, it's a hypothetical situation, so I'm going to give you a hypothetical answer.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing is this right here. Not in my wildest dream, not in my wildest thought processes, could I ever imagine me allowing a woman to be in a position to even ask that question.
Well, do you, well, I'm going to ask you then, since you said it like that, do you like women?
I love women.
Okay. You're a homosexual? I mean,
I love women.
I'm asking.
I love everything from the rooter to the tutor of every woman that I meet that knows that they are a woman.
Are you celibate?
Am I celibate?
Yes.
Personal.
What I practice is not a religious mindset.
Hold on, wait a minute.
Celibate means more to it to me than
no,
me
it
just
doesn't. It means either you're having
oh,
sex
yes,
or
it
not.
Does. It
exactly.
Celibate means way more because
this
to get my mind
is,
for any man or woman to get that because this is for the young men that maybe
no,
listen, and they're thinking about
glad.
Having sex right now
oh,
and they
hold
maybe
on,
thinking
lady.
About having sex.
Okay.
You got a lot of men and women out there that want some
action. Right,
they may be in the process of about to have sex. So how do I abstain from what they call or practice abstinence? It comes, first of all, preparing your mind, being truthful to yourself of what your needs are and what your wants are, what is instant gratification and what is delayed gratification. Weigh the ones that will benefit you and stand on the choices that you have and the decisions that
you're
on
around
make.
Yesterday, Logan.
And
with man,
that
huh?
right.
I'm
and
talking
with,
to Logan.
Okay, so can I say something real quick? This is what I want to say.
What we're doing is we want to hear everyone. So if you all would be kind enough to let one person finish their thought, when they say they've completed their thought, then the next person, please. Thank you very much.
I agree. I do agree. And can the man just be a man and grab his cojones and say, hey, I have sex or I don't have sex? Period. Don't go beating around the bush, man. Yeah.
You
Lo,
know, that mind frame, I know where it comes from, and that's the reason why
you
I say that. That's why I stated earlier, you have what's called delayed gratification and you have what's called instant gratification. The greatest information that has come to me has been me sitting at the foot of my grandmother and my great-grandmother and them telling me the stories of their mothers and their great-grandmothers, et cetera. And so that's where my discipline comes from. That's where my respect comes from. It doesn't come from sitting at the feet of my father. It came from me sitting at the feet of all these powerful black women. So why would I want to, knowing what I know and have been taught by strong black women, go out here and just have sex for the sake of having sex?
You're pandering to the women.
You.
Good for you. Here's my suggestion.
Can I say something?
He's not pandering to the women.
He's pandering to you.
No,
can
not.
I say something now? I'm my hand up. Can I get a complete thought in? Okay. So I got so hyped where I stand, and I'm actually at a public building. I got so hyped where I started pulling people off the sidewalk and asking them what they thought, me and Edwin. And it come down to just strangers off the street. The only way that a man is really going to get a say-so is if he proves that woman is an unfit parent, which he can do. say this woman says she don't, you know, she didn't want to have this kid. She ends up having the kid, and she's not financially able because somebody mentioned the welfare system. And it's gotten bad because there's so many women I know. My mom has 16 kids, 16. I'm one of them. And she live on welfare, still does. Some women in this world just keep having kids because you get more food stamps the more kids you got. You get more cash assistance from the government, more kids you got. And we people who work for a living keep paying these folks who don't want to work and just want to have kids. So say a man says, you know what? This woman is like all these women I know who just want to live on welfare. Judge, she ain't never held a job out of none of these kids she got. She doesn't have any formal education. She didn't even finish high school. Psychologically, she's not fit to take care of my child. I want my child because all these things she's not, I am. That man could take that woman to court, prove her unfit, and take his child home with him. That's the only way that a man really has a say-so is to prove that woman as an unfit mother.
And can you count the number of them that do?
What was that?
Count the number of them that take them home with them.
But there are men out there, though. See,
yeah,
a lot of us women, we so close, we so close-minded.
Because
we
the woman
so close-minded to think.
Can I speak to the guy that was speaking of being at the feet of his grandmother and his great-grandmother?
Yes,
go ahead, Maze.
See, some young people don't understand where you're coming from and what you're saying. It went over the top of their head. Is that you got respect for a woman because of the women that you came up around. That you respect the body of a woman to not even want to lay down with her to get her pregnant without protection and making sure that you're not going to deliver a child.
One question on that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to break it. I didn't mean to bust.
When she finishes her thought,
I think
that's
finished. What he was trying to tell you, Lo, if you would listen. I'm finished.
I don't have to keep getting muted just because
Yes, you do. Because we have new rules. And one person is going to speak, and when they finish their thought, the next person is going to speak. And I'm not going to keep hollering, so I'm going to use the mute button.
I like calling on this show, but, you know, that, like I was saying, Maze and Mr. Whoever, Mr. Celibate, say whatever you want to. Nothing went over my head. I have four sisters. I have a daughter, a mama, a grandma still alive, and all of that in between, nieces, nephews, whatever. So I understand the respect of someone's body. But let's just say with all of that you care about somebody and you love them and the condom breaks and you have a baby on the way. What do you do then?
Mary,
you always want to make the best scenario possible. Let's say it's not the best situation.
All I can say is I can only speak for myself. And as you can speak for all the bodies that you know, such as your nieces, nephews, and everybody else, that you can know the bodies of these men and women. You can know that. That's on you. But me, all I know is myself and the choices that I am responsible for. But as far as if it happens to me, it's not going to happen to me because I wouldn't allow it to happen to me. So if does not come into the equation at all. So when you start to be... So when you start to eliminate parts of the equation that don't apply to you and you only have and hold that which applies to you, you'll never get caught up in that situation.
Are you a eunuch?
Am I a eunuch? I mean, what do you mean a eunuch? I mean, a robot? Am I a robot?
No, I'm asking you.
Am I a eunuch of measure?
Yeah.
Eunuch doesn't have man parts.
Oh,
I guess
really what he should have asked me was, do I have any children?
Some people don't want children.
Well, I have a grown son and I have a grown daughter. They both graduated from college, and I also have an 18-year-old. So, I mean, if that answers your question, yes.
Let's make this real simple.
I'm no longer with those women. Hold on, let me finish real quick now.
Hold on, Mr. Internet. I'm going to let you finish, but I got something to say. Okay. Let me go on to get this out there once again. I said it at the beginning of the show, and I'm going to say it again. Do not personally attack anybody on my show. You may be putting it in the form of a question or whatever, but no, don't do that. All right? Don't do that. Either the topic or something they said, but not at them. I don't do that. Y'all know that. All right? Thank you. Let's not have it happen again.
Okay, with that,
And I got
no. Hold up, Shasta. Go ahead, Mr. International.
Mr. Tuck, I appreciate you saying that, but I really don't take offense. What it is, as I stated, what I'll do is I'll basically repeat what someone else has said, and it may to some sound disgusting if they put it in the right context. But as far as that's their choice, that's their opinion. So I'm not here to offend anyone. And so the thing is, with that said, that being married and having grown children and being divorced from those twice from those different marriages, the thing about it is that I had to learn a lot or relearn myself or rebrainwash myself on what was the basics of what I was told and taught when I was younger. And so I had to spend a lot of time in meditation. And not just with myself, but with the thoughts of my grandmother, my great-grandmother, my mother, my sister. And just like the lady stated, she has, I believe she stated, 7 of 16, there were 10 boys and 5 girls in our family also. So I come from that type of a large family. And so when you come from a large family like that, you don't necessarily get what's called individual attention. So what you do is you kind of migrate towards whatever benefits you at a very young age as a support mechanism. And to me, it was the black woman in the household. And that was my mother and my grandmother and my great-grandmother. And my father was there, but he was out working, because when you have that many kids, you have to work to put food on the table. And so that's where I learned to become a man from him and a woman, and also embrace whatever it is on the woman's side that my mothers and all these ancestors had to donate to me. And I don't take those for granted. That's why I told you yesterday, Joe, you need to look up what your history is. And that will solve a lot of your questions that you have. Because there are answers that are found in the questions that you present, but you have the power to change the older questions and present new questions. Those are called amendments. You can do that based upon the energy you want to put into it.
Okay, well, I'll use me for example then. Since you know you can't ask a damn question, I'll use me. Well, if I ask myself, hey, you had all these boy cousins and siblings and whatnot, and they were out playing football and soccer and kickball and everything, and you were inside the house with the women and all of this and all of that, would you be a little sensitive? And I'd say yes, I probably would be a little sensitive, you know. And that's just from my perspective. Now, people don't like it, I could care less. But if I ask a question, I'm asking because I want to know something. And now that I know that this man has admitted he's been married twice, it took a long time and two women and a bunch of kids to finally realize what was reality to you, man.
That's true. That's true. I agree with you. And that's the thing. That's the key thing, is that you, in order for you to actually know what the past really represents, you can't necessarily keep on bringing up the past. You have to have a span in your time where you actually grow and you experience the world in general. But your foundation has to be where you came from. Your foundation has to be what it is that made you who you are today. And whatever it was that did not benefit you, that stuff right there, you don't throw it away. You just put it in another file in your brain so you can come back to it later when you need it. And that's what it is, and that's where I'm at right now in life. I'm going back to those files because I would never throw away all that wisdom, all that information, all the mannerisms, all the different tones, all the different singing and the celebration. I would never do that. So I had to spend time in meditation to appreciate that once again, and it was just like it just happened yesterday.
Can I say something? Can Shasta get that? Okay. I want to stand for all the young people. All of y'all are older. I'm 29. So, in my standpoint, I want to stand in for all the younger people who are not on this line. So, it sounds good to say this is where I come from and this is what I was raised in. I'll say again, I'm one of 16. I've had two children myself, one in which I gave up for adoption and one in which my daughter, her father, voluntarily relinquished his rights to my child, which meant that he no longer wanted anything to do with my child. And he chose for his mother to have say-so over my child instead of himself. So I've had many different experiences that draw my conclusion. But just standing in as a young person in general who may not have had the correct education or may not have had real women in their lives that made the correct decision, just in a young person's standpoint, if you don't have that sort of knowledge and you just out here having sex with somebody, most young people don't see themselves settling down at this age. You thinking, man, I'm 24, 25, I'm still trying to hit the club, I'm trying to hang out with folks. Man, this kid is just hampering everything I got going on. So most men at this young age that I sit at, they're not talking about kids. And because they're not talking about kids, many of these men say, you know what, I don't want to have nothing to do with her or that baby. Or many young women say, you know what, I'm going to keep having them. I keep having them. Food stamps keep going up, and I can go apply for this stamp. Girl, they'll give me $2,000 a month. So why don't I just, you know, just keep popping them out? Don't mean you're taking better care of them. Now you just got a slew of kids, and you don't got enough attention to go around for all of them. So I say again, it goes back to having that conversation when you first begin to meet someone, and y'all know that intercourse is something that y'all going to engage in. It goes back to that. It goes back to y'all discussing what y'all doing in y'all lives. Where you from? What's your family look like? Me, personally, I'm not set to have any kids. You know, my finances ain't right, and you know it's going to take money to take care of whatever we got. So we're going to wear a condom every time. If a hole fall off in this thing, I told you I didn't want no kids, especially a man. He's probably going to tell that woman whether or not he wanted to have kids in the get. Hey, I'm young people, we going to talk about it. Hey, I ain't looking to have no kids. Hey, shorty, I'm just trying to hit. As we young people say, I'm just trying to hit. I ain't talking about having no kids. So you knew from the beginning that that man wasn't trying to have no kids. So whether or not you decided to keep it, you already knew where his head was at in the beginning. So whatever ulterior motives you had for keeping that kid, you dealing with that right now. So, yeah, a woman has much say-so in this, whether or not we want to keep it and whether or not we can take care of it. So I go back to a man. If a man feels like he is in a better position than that woman who's just having him to stay on welfare, let that man take that written consent to the judge and say, hey, she's not fit to take care of my child. She got six others besides the one she just had with me, judge. And I want to let you know, I can take care of it financially. I got an education, and what I can do, I got my family standing right here beside me, and we going to ride. So we going to do this. But as a young person today, you have to know we don't have all this wisdom y'all got. We ain't there yet. We still young and dumb. And as we say in the young world, full of cum. So we still out there just trying to have a good time. You know, ain't nobody worried about protection and whatnot until the baby comes. And then now we looking stupid, like, I don't know if I'm going to keep it. You don't know if we going to keep it. Nobody knows. It's all about money out here. Women trying to get more dough. They worry about what they can get from the government. So the state enters it every time that woman gets food stamps. Every first of the month that she getting them stamps, the government was in her business from the beginning. They keeping tabs on how many kids she got. So it all comes down to the conversation. It's not enough of us young people being given the conversation to wear a condom, to use contraceptives, to be safe, to know whether or not we want to have kids in the first place. If you don't want them, don't lay down with a man, because at that opportunity, anything could happen. A baby could come from that. You need to know that all y'all with kids, y'all gotta be having this conversation with your own kids. If you don't want a baby, don't lay, you don't want fleas, you don't lay down with a dog, right? If you want a man who's gonna take care of his baby.
Thank you, Shasta. Now, let's try to ask the question, how does culture play into this discussion? Anybody have any thoughts about how culture plays into this situation?
Well, I guess it goes back to basically what's called eugenics, and it's the preservation of certain types of culture. And one thing that we've lost coming over to this, well, not necessarily coming over here, there were some of us here already, but via the translated slave trade, we lost a lot of culture. And so a lot of these young men and women don't know what their culture is, and they've taken on a different culture. And this culture is one that it looks like it is when it's spoken as articulate as the young lady of 29 spoke with so much more wisdom. That type of articulation and visualization as she's speaking, it's a disgusting culture. And so I think that identification with the correct culture, it begins there. And you can identify your culture, if whether you're a single man, a single woman, or if you have a house full of people. All it does is come through meditation of everyone that you interact with. Just play over situations in your mind. We can remember nothing at all. Most men and women can remember basically nothing at all. All they can remember is my show comes on at a certain day. I hope that whatever it is that they're recording on, it recorded it. And once they watch that right there, they never go back to it again. And you can ask them something 2 days later, a day later, try it. And they've forgotten what that episode was about. So the ability to retain information the correct way, about our culture also has to come into play, where we have to spend time alone and work with our brain and regathering up those memories. And when you use any type, I'm a weightlifter, and I'm also a karate instructor. So the thing is that when you know that your body is able to physically respond to whatever in whatever situation necessary, based upon your knowledge of training, your mind has to be there also, and your mind has to be beyond that, because there's other techniques out there. And so that's one thing that we have to work on, is our brain power, and we have to work out these muscles, this muscle called a brain, as we do our bodies, or whether we go to work and we put all that energy and effort into that, we have to find some time in the day to reflect on what's happened to that point. We have to, and we have to play that scenario over and see if this benefits us or does that benefit me. And if it doesn't benefit you, you throw it out. So when you see that situation approaching you again on your job, you know what you do? You can walk right by it because it doesn't benefit you, so why should I give any energy to it? And that's just what they want to go ahead and waste, but I don't want it. And that makes for a stress-free environment and a stress-free you. And that way the young boys, young girls won't be out here in the clubs partying, having a good time, and then at the end of the day they go ahead and grab their guns. Man, he stepped on your shoes. Oh, man, yeah, that's them ones, man. I stayed and stand in line for 2 weeks and a half to get, man, and he's going to step on my feet, man. Oh, yeah, go ahead, find out who he would, and we're going to meet him out in the parking lot. See, it crushes all of that negative energy. It crushes all of that. So then you have the greatest inventors coming back on the scene. You have the greatest philosophers coming back on the scene. You have the greatest presidents coming back on the scene. You have all these great leaders that are going to stand up. But it all starts with correcting your culture, receiving the correct culture. And that's my take on culture. I'm sorry I'm a little long-winded there.
Well, thank you. That's very, very, very good points. But the reason I interjected the question of culture was because I was thinking about what Shasta brought out, and she mentioned it a couple of times about some women who find themselves in an economic situation where they have more babies to get more food stamps. And I was listening to Dr. Frances Kress-Welsing's video today on black female-male relationships, and she pointed out that we have forgotten the connection between when our ancestors was in chattel slavery, the people that were enslaving us were breeding us. So today we have a modern system of breeding us called welfare and food stamps.
I agree. And with that also, knowing what your culture is, it eliminates all of that. That really is the equal answer, the positive answer to tearing that part of the tentacle of this octopus down. It's basically correcting your culture. And once you know who you are, and like the young lady stated earlier, how articulated she was when she talked about her being a sibling and all the people that were in her family and how this affects her and that affects her and this is the mind state of men. When that conversation is shared, then you're going to have a little bit of pride in yourself as a person, because not only are you receiving some food that's really is going to edify you in the proper way, but also what it's going to do is it's going to have you have someone that you can look eye to eye with, which, like this young lady, this is really what she needs, I think, will benefit most a lot of men and women, young and old, to be honest with you, is if she taught the way she talks. Because that type of information coming from someone at the same age, I have nieces and nephews that are 21, 23, et cetera, and as a part of them growing up, they come and they share the same stories that this young lady just spoke about. And so what it is keeping them off of that and out of that mind frame and knowing who they are. And what that does is it eliminates, I don't need your programs. I don't need your schemes. I don't need to do what you call voluntary compliance when you're making it mandatory. So they have choices then. All their choices are most of their choices are taken away from them. So it's a matter of restoring that also.
Why do you think they're changing the name of it to the Transatlantic Migration? There won't be any mention or anything to remind people of chattel slavery in a few years.
Yeah, I agree.
Anything that happened in between.
Yeah. And that's sad, because I went to Africa, and I noticed one thing that they were doing was they were destroying a lot.
Okay, what happened? Are we having technical issues? Okay, let's go back. Go ahead, yeah, Mr. International.
I was going to share something, but going back to the information, and that's what it really is. I mean, because I have a collection of older books, and I compare a lot of the sociology books and a lot of the so-called history and biography books and science books with what took place way back in the day in its original format. And so then I look at the books today as my nieces and nephews and my kids come over and they share their college information with me. And I show them the differences in the beginning and what they're receiving right now. And they always feel cheated because there's such a lack of information. And so that causes them to research and not only know what it is that they – all of these nieces and nephews and daughters and sons are valedictorians. And so – and so what they'll do is they'll go ahead and study what it is that they have to study on that college or high school level, but they also know the truth in its purest form. And I think you hit it on the head when you stated that, you know, the thing is, and it goes back to this right here, when any man or woman has a child and that birth certificate that is given, it's called a certificate of vital records, that as soon as you sign that right there, and this is where it starts. When you sign that right there, it goes to the IMF division in Washington, D.C. The International Monetary Fund, they take that birth certificate and they turn it into a negotiable instrument. That negotiable instrument is then transferred and circulated on international commerce. This is why your child is a ward of the state or the property of the state, and so that's when you first start losing your rights, and then they do it again under the Social Security Act by making you what's called an identifier, when it states very specifically in the Social Security Act that this should not be used as a public identifier, but they've flipped the script on you on that. So that has taken away a lot of your rights. So when it comes to money, men and women always saying, I need more money. So then they do what's called an unapportioned direct tax on your domestic labor. That's called an income tax. And that income tax is totally illegal because when you research every Supreme Court decision that stated that every court in the land shall respond to the Supreme Court's decision throughout the land, it has been against an income tax from day one. But they flipped the script on that because they deleted a lot of the information in what's called Title 26 of the Internal Revenue Service Code. So it's just this big scam that they're playing. But the ultimate thing is that they don't want you to not only know who you are, but they don't want you to know that they still have your treasures. And this is the key thing. It's not about, you know, all these programs they're creating. It's about they have your treasures. It's called unfound treasures. And via that 1861 Act of reparations for black men and women, it's still sitting in the trust fund. But they haven't read the act correctly, and they haven't responded to the act correctly, so they haven't received their treasure. So the government keeps investing that money, drawing off the interest. It's called unfound treasure. So they're allowing the government to use that unfound treasure, and it states very specifically that the government has the power to do that in that act. But it does not have the right to take away your treasure, the treasure that your descendants worked for and have given to you via this 1861 Act. And so I think that when it comes down to what really is relative in the whole scheme of things, it's about your power. It's about my power. How do you want to use your power, and how do I want to use my power? And I have no right to tell you how to use your power if the way that you use your power benefits you. That's the bottom line with me. It's all about power.
Wow.
You said a whole lot. That's true. That's a very good point. And that goes all the way up to the highest level that I can think of just right now off top. You think about a lot of these guys that come out of college and get a big contract and wind up with 8 or 9 children in the NFL, the NBA, or whatever. It's the exact same thing as a plantation because that's just the big stud that they have out there breeding those women with. And all the money of his contract and endorsements, he's giving a lot of that money out in child support and taxes and covering this up when he had to fight in Florida at the All-Star Weekend and all of this and that stuff. And when it all boils down, when he's past his years of his prime, he'll be no more value, and he won't have any money. It goes all the way around in a circle. I mean, on the lowest level, as far as people living in poverty and needing welfare, all the way up to the guy that's quote unquote made it from the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Very, very true. Co-host, where my co-host at? I think she has something she wanted to get in here. Let's
all
see.
Right.
That's all right?
Okay. It's past okay. Where I wanted to, interject.
All right. Well, we got 5 minutes left in the show. We are going into overtime. So for those that's in the chat room and you want to continue to hear the show live, get on the switchboard, 347-838-8622. I'm telling you, man, once we go on live, we kind of cut a little looser than what we do on the air. You can hear
can
everything. So get on the line. But go ahead.
Can I say the H
what?
Word? Can I say
no,
the H word?
No, you can't say the H word, clown. Maze, you wanted to say something? Keep on. I got the machine gun and a magnum waiting on me.
In this train, when you get a little bit of understanding, you can listen sometime. That's all I got to say right now.
That's all you got to say right now. Okay. Well, thank you that. Mm. You know what? It's a lot being said, and we can go back and forth to we can go back and forth over this whole thing. But Mr. International, he brought up some good points about birth certificates and things like that. I think we was going to do a show on that at one time before about the numbers on the Social Security card and birth certificate, what they actually meant. Maybe somewhere down the line we'll hit on that. But, you know, this thing about men and women and whether men have, you know, a right to say whether a woman can have a baby. And you know what? Maze did bring up a very good point, though. I joke with her a little bit about it, but she did bring up a point. You know, a woman tell a man to have a hysterectomy. I mean, not a hysterectomy. Oh, my
goodness. Oh, my God. What's this guy?
Oh, Lord. Okay, let me back up.
There you
okay.
Go.
What
did you say? Tell a man to have a mastectomy. You know what I'm talking about. Get snipped. That's what we say. We don't say the wrong word. We say get snipped. All right. So, you know, and if you look at it at that point, it kind of puts things in perspective. However, you know, you're still talking about a child, you know, and I mean, we done went around, but, you know, the child has to be considered. You know, I look at it like this. Once they're pregnant, it's a child. That's the way I feel about it. So it's an interesting, interesting
concept.
Let's go
with that. Let's go with that vasectomy foundation. Okay?
You know,
yes.
You see that? Joe was talking, and she didn't have anything to say. Now all of a sudden, she got something to say.
Yeah, here's what I wanted.
Well,
hopefully, I can take up about. Hold up,
Maze. Hold up, Maze. Hold up, Maze.
Okay.
Go ahead, Joe.
All right. The thing about, can a woman ask a man to have a vasectomy? Well, if he went out and with his unvasectomized penis got about 10 women pregnant, according to that particular foundation, which Maze is bringing up, since, you know, the man can't tell the man or the woman what to do with her body, and therefore the woman can't tell the man what to do with his body, right? And the premise of that is something within the body you cannot have control over, the other person can't have control over. So if that's supposed to be the premise, then if the man is going to impregnate other women and have other kids and he's married, then the wife should just shut up. Because if the man can't tell the woman what to do, then the woman can't tell the man what to do with his body. So therefore, both premises are incorrect. Does anybody get that? Anybody?
Well, I get what you're saying. Go ahead, Maze.
The reason why I say what I said, Mr. Talk, is that my sister-in-law didn't want children, so she got a tooth tag. My aunt can have children, so she adopted some children that a mother and a father didn't want.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the choices people have to make.
That was very selfish.
So she didn't want children,
and
she don't have any. She didn't want them. So she didn't have to worry about being pregnant at all.
Does anybody understand
the
concept of time?
If a man did that, he wouldn't have to worry about having to go to court. He wouldn't have to worry about taking care of no children because he didn't want any in the first place.
Does anybody have any concept of time and space? Anybody?
And that's the end of that story.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Right.
I don't think so.
Right, we get your point. We get your point, Maze. Now, Joe, ask your question again.
Okay. Does anybody have any concept of time and space?
But the question before that, knucklehead.
Okay. Here's the question. The time is when a woman is pregnant. That is the time when the woman has everything to say about it. When the woman gives birth, that's after that particular time. So you can't combine both realities and try to make them one. Please grow brain cells. Well, there's one issue which is divorced from the other issue. You cannot bring both into the discussion and treat them as though they were both on the equal foundation.
I'll say it like this.
Uh-oh.
Don't open your behind up if you don't want the repercussions to come behind. Don't lay on your back. If you don't want no kids, don't lay on your back. Period.
The thing is,
and
yeah,
it's just that simple. Other than
you're
that,
right, but
selfish.
The thing is, when you gave that hypothetical example and he dodged it with his hypothetical 15-minute soliloquy which went nowhere, but everybody thought it was important, was if you are with somebody and somebody has gained your trust. Now, women have sued men for breach of promise for almost exactly the same type of premise as what men have been denied. Men will lay with the woman, tell the woman, I don't want kids. The woman will say, I agree with you. She gets pregnant. All of a sudden, the man's rights are right out the window. However, if it was reversed, then she could sue him for breach of promise, and she doesn't even have to be pregnant. There is a double standard here.
Joe, if you look at it the way it really is, bro, it's just a triple standard everywhere, because even with something as simple as insurance, now, well, they've had it a few years now where a man can go and get Viagra and certain things like that, right?
Right.
Right. And they don't make the same opportunities for women as far as some things that they might need sexually.
And, you know, women wear bras and men don't, so is that unfair?
Hey, that's somebody slamming their phone against the ground.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, let me bring somebody else in. I see they got their hands up. Y'all beating y'all head on the wall right about now. But I love y'all. Okay, let's see. 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
Hey,
Joe,
how you doing,
home.
Mr. Todd?
What's up, Michael? How are you?
Just made it, Mike.
Pretty good. Yeah, I've been hearing you guys talk about this. And Joe has been saying this for years. And
Joe,
a way to just to end all this.
Oh, yeah, okay. Here we go. Go ahead, Mike.
Make sure you listen, though, Joe.
See,
I mean, all of this is just a waste of argument. We have to go on facts, even though this is how you even things out. And I would tell my sons this. Joe has always argued if a woman doesn't want to have a baby, or if she promised not to have a baby, he doesn't agree that they should have the last decision, but that's her body. So we just know that for a fact. You know, I understand some women are like that. This is in not most cases. Most time when someone has an abortion, both parties agree. But what Joe is saying, if you have a problem in that, the only thing you have to do, if you know that they have that power, no one in the world can take it away from them. The only power that us men have is not to ejaculate in her. That's it. It is. If you know that's for a fact, that no one can make that woman have that baby, if she doesn't want to have a baby, what do you do? They're going to strip her down. They're going to make her push it out. You're going to be around her. They're going to have a 24-hour surveillance for 9 months. What I'm saying is it's too difficult. If you know that, as a man, don't ejaculate in her. Okay? If you ejaculate in her, when you ejaculate in her, just be a fact that she has that choice. That's it.
What about the
no
time
one can make a woman put
breaks.
Something out of her body, unfortunately. Huh?
What about when the condom breaks?
Well, nothing's 100%. Wearing a condom is not a fact.
Exactly.
I didn't
say it was.
So, right.
But you
so
just came
if
on
you said,
saying, don't ejaculate in her. Like, that was 100%.
Well, right, but if the condom breaks, you know that it was a window that it could have happened, so you still got to take that chance.
So we're talking hypotheticals here, Mike. Please.
Well, no, let's keep real life. Let's not type hypothetical.
Life is a hypothetical. Because
okay,
anything can happen.
Okay, but Lo, listen, calm down, Lo. You cannot make her have the baby bottom line. No one in the world, if a condom breaks, no one in the world can make her have it. Bottom line. And think, if you try to make her have it or try to get rid of it, what laws, who's going to make sure that happens besides her? You can't do it. So us as men, if we know that fact, just be more careful. That's all I wanted to say, Mr. Tartan. That's my last words. You guys have a nice weekend. Appreciate
it. But like I said, stop laying around with everybody. Make it special. Stop laying up with any and everybody. Make it special. Get married. And if you don't want to get married, shack up and do it. At least some kind of way you have some type of responsibility towards each other other than wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Oh, well, 2 weeks later, I know I met you at the club, but I got knocked up.
Hello?
Sure, yeah, go.
I think a lot of what also needs to happen, I agree with you 100%. And I think that what also needs to happen in that situation is that whoever has been a part of a situation like that where they know for a fact it was the taking of a life and that they did not want that life to be taken in regards to, or it might be the wife, the woman, the men, and arguments. Oh, okay, it's time to heal from that. It's time to forgive yourself for a decision that you made when you were not equipped with the proper information. Now that you are equipped with the proper information, do not make the same mistakes. And that way you don't have to apologize to yourself again. That's my ending.
I tell you what, the lady, I think it was Miss Mays, said that somebody in her family didn't want kids. Or whatever. That was a selfish individual right there.
That didn't make her selfish because she didn't want kids.
You can,
make
that's your
because
opinion.
You want it, just because you wanted them and you
got
them.
Your opinion. That's
well,
your
that's
opinion.
That's right. That's my opinion, and this is yours, and this is mine. If that's what
exactly.
She wants, she don't want kids. And she don't have any.
You,
and some, and then
really.
I said her aunt, that, and I also said her aunt couldn't have kids, and she wanted kids. So
uh-huh.
What's the difference? And she adopted kids because she wanted
there's
them.
There's a lot of
I guess she was selfish,
difference.
Too.
You ask a question, I'm going to give you an answer. There's a lot
every,
of difference. For,
what's the difference?
I'm going to give you an answer, whether you want kids
hey.
Or not. You had one lady who didn't have the opportunity whatsoever. Probably did everything that she knew to do to have children. And the other one, I just don't want none. And she went and got it taken care of altogether to make sure it don't happen.
Yes, because she,
so
you know why she did
selfish.
It? You know why she say she did it? Because selfish men running around, just like you say, women keep their legs closed. And the dog men run around just dropping it everywhere like a dog.
Was she married? Is she married?
Yes, she's married.
Okay,
and
well.
Both of them were married. She adopted children, is what I think.
Wait. One thing at a time. If
and her
she
husband
was married,
didn't want kids either.
One thing at a time.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
All right, hold on for a minute. Well, hold on, because y'all going back at hitting your head on the wall again. Let me bring Mr. Solution in. No. All right,
here
welcome to the show,
answer.
Mr. Solution.
Yeah, sure. I just wanted to comment on the statement that Michael stated. Hello, everyone. And I believe that Michael epitomizes exactly what the legislature had in view when they gave all the power to the woman, gave all the legal power to the woman. That's very, very crucial. And they knew that they could not create a bureaucracy around a woman being responsible. If any of you would read Roe versus Wade, these same ideas were discussed in that Supreme Court decision regarding the women. But they said, well, we can't do that. We can't deny her sexual freedom. They said all she had to do is keep her pants on, keep her legs closed, use birth control. But they couldn't make money off of, making the woman responsible. So what they did is they put it all on the man. Now, they can't make the men responsible either. Because the men who come from these irresponsible, what I call birthers, or voluntary single mothers, these men generally don't have the capability of being responsible. And many of them don't work, and so they can't collect any money from them. This is all a government project, because the federal government, this is federally funded. The states wouldn't pursue men if the federal government didn't fund it. The states don't have the resources to pursue men. Doing is the government has overstretched its reach. They know men are weak, and most men will not fight it. They allow this to continue. But all they have to do is say men have the right to walk away. That's all. Men have the right, just like women have the right to, first of all, women have about 12 forms of birth control, so they don't have to get pregnant in the first place. They also have Plan B, which is if they've been irresponsible having sex, they could go down to the local drugstore, get Plan B, and it prevents the egg and sperm from meeting, okay? But women won't do that. They hold the man utterly responsible so they can create a bureaucracy. Judges, family court, judges, attorneys, social workers, psychologists, all these cushy jobs surround this so-called child support. So they don't give a shit about the woman. They don't give a crap about the child. They care about the money. The average person, even though I'm saying it right now, they know this of the average person. They'll never get it. And all they do is fight each other. When the other is not the real problem. The problem is the government. I guarantee you, if there was a Roe versus Wade for men, women would stop having these bastard children. I hear conservatives talk about this all the time, and none of them bring up the notion, get this now, none of them bring up the notion of giving the man the same rights to step away from an unwanted pregnancy, and that's what it is, as they do a woman. We're not talking about a woman, a man, exercising any control over the woman. But I tell you what happens, what it has resulted in, many men who feel that, you know, a woman who's impregnated, this is their last opportunity to have a child. But a lot of these women say, well, no, I don't want to have the child. Even though the man says, just have it and give it to me, they say, no, I want to destroy it. That's wrong, not to give the man any say. And by the way, it's the man's body, too. If there is a man and he's forced to pay child support for umpteen years, 18, 20 years, two decades, that's his body. He's being forced into involuntary servitude. So this could be resolved, but really no one wants to resolve it because it's very profitable, it's very scapegoatish, and no one really wants to resolve it.
Okay, Jeff, I want to say something because everything you just said, I said it previously in the earlier excerpt of the show, which is before this overtime thing. I said all of this. I mentioned Plan B first, that the woman has an alternate right. I already mentioned that men, it doesn't matter about a man. Nobody cares. This is set in stone. Nobody cares about the man, okay? I just want to let all y'all know that nobody cares about the man, that it's all about the woman. That's what it. That's where it lies. No matter how we want to sugarcoat it or anything like that, it just doesn't matter. It falls on the woman. If she decides, if her and the man say, hey, we don't want to have this kid, and they sit down at the dinner table, I say again on a piece of paper and say, nope, on this day I said I didn't want to have it. She said she didn't want to have it either. And then a few months down the line when womanhood hit her and that baby started moving and she said, ooh, I changed my mind. That man can't take that piece of paper to the government and say, hey, she signed a judge. The judge going to say, well, that's her right, though. She said she wanted to continue to have the baby. And then guess what? She can still take that man to court and get child support for it. Still get child support for that child. And even if he did relinquish his rights, I know because I've been here. Even if the man did relinquish his rights and say, you know what, I don't want to have nothing to do with that child, he's still going to pay child support because what he said, it's about the money. You're still going to pay for that child. Up until that child is 18 in the state of Texas, I don't care what rights you don't want to have. You still going to pay for it because, sir, that's your child. I don't care if you're
trying to birth. Okay,
can I speak now? Can I
say
that for you? Can I speak? When we talk about
let me just make this statement. In the area of child support, that is the only area where open fraud is allowed.
Mr. Tuck, can I speak?
Let us.
Go ahead,
man. We talk about welfare. When we talk about welfare, like Strong Thurmond, a person that worked up there in the Congress, had a daughter, a bastard child, and he didn't make a law to take care of that bastard child. So I'm not understanding what these conservative people are talking about. When he had a bastard child, except people call him bastard children. His daughter was a bastard child. What laws did he make? And welfare was not started for black people in the first place because black people didn't even want welfare.
He had plenty of money to take care of his bastard
child. He didn't take
daughter.
Care of her.
He had
only
plenty of money to if he
wanted.
You
what
ask
I'm saying.
Questions. Why do you ask questions and then when people give the answer, you cut them off?
Nobody give me no answer.
I'm giving you an answer. He had plenty of money. If he wanted to take care of her, he could have. If he said to heck with it, then that's what he decided to do.
Yes, he did.
But
so maybe that's why the laws are the way they are.
The girl's mother had all the loyalty in the world towards him because they never brought it out till he died. So it didn't matter. It never mattered. The kid didn't matter.
Knew.
Of course. Knew. Hell, the half-breed where I'm from, everybody know who our daddy is.
All right, then.
They don't talk
all
about
right.
it.
No, we don't want to talk about the half-breeds. All of those half-breeds that was done and nobody never gave a damn for them, but they were still children and they grew up to be somebody and their welfare was never given to them.
Maze.
Thanks.
What is your point?
He was talking about half-breeds. I was just saying that that's a different conversation.
Well, Mr. Solutions, you had a very great point. Shasta, great points also in the beginning. But when it breaks all the way down, hey, it's all about money. Nothing more, nothing less. I had someone from the system to tell me, you know, if more guys were like you, I wouldn't have a job, quote unquote, from the system. And that's just
It's totally about money. It is the most corrupt system. If you, I don't have the case right here before me, but you can easily look it up. It is so corrupt. There was a situation in Arizona where a woman completely lied about having a child. There was no child. But she was milking this guy for child support because she had a cousin who worked in a DNA lab, and that cousin got some of the hair of, I believe, this guy's sister, and it was totally fabricated. So the guy finally got the guts, the intestinal fortitude, to subpoena the woman into court. On her way to court, she kidnapped a child. This is the ex-wife. She kidnapped a child in the parking lot, you know, to have a child. And the mother, of course, of the child was in hot pursuit, and the woman brought this stolen child, kidnapped child, into the courtroom, and, of course, it was found out. Now, she did some prison time. The governor got involved, the governor of Arizona, because the child support system is just corrupt from the bottom up. It's all about money. It's nothing about the kids, and they knew that basically ignorant people would always fight over this issue. But it's a setup. That's exactly what it is. It's a total setup.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Put down.
Yes. All right. I'm glad we figured that much out. And, of course, we know the system is a setup. We've done shows on it, too, where we've presented evidence that, the more they get involved, the more money they get. So, yeah, that's all it is. All right. Any other comments before we go on?
Just one. Let me go first.
Okay, go first.
Okay. Hey, I appreciate all the information that's been put out there in this show. I came in a little late. I was doing a little yard work or whatever. I'm about to enjoy this Sabbath. So you all have a blessed one. Shalom.
That was it.
That's it, bro.
All right. All right. Call me after the Sabbath. Talk to you later.
For sure.
All right. Okay. Let's see. I ain't heard from somebody today. Let's see. Sister Ottawa, your last words. You there?
Yes, I'm here. It's a very good show, and I just wanted to make a comment about culture. I wrote some things down.
Okay.
Number one, culture, it acts to unify, to order experience, so its members perceive organization, consistency, and system. Culture gives group identification. It builds on shared historical experiences, creating collective cultural identity. Culture represents values, systematic set of ideas. Culture provides a basis for commitment, priority, and choices, giving direction to the group development and behavior of its members. Culture is shared symbols and meanings, primary creative force. Culture is the primary creative force of collective consciousness. Thank you.
And thank you, and you have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
Thank you. All right, let's see. Mr. Solution, you up.
I'm having a real hard time deciding whether to go shop, whether to go shopping or to the marina. Damn, this is a tough decision. But good show, Eric.
Thank you. Go to the marina.
All right,
go to
thanks.
The marina. All right. All right, Joe. What you at?
Okay,
Joe,
I have
Joe.
A suggestion. People
okay.
get limited to 2 minutes because if a person can't explain what it is that they're passionate about or what they say is the truth in 2 minutes, as far as I'm concerned, they're an idiot. They do not know what they're talking about. And if a person is challenged on whatever it is that that particular statement or proposition is, that the person answers the question. Otherwise, this is going to be a forum for those who feel free to just blah, 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 blah. So that's my suggestion.
Okay, sir. Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
Oh. All right, let's see who we got left. I don't know. Did I do Maze? Let's see. Maze, where you at?
I'm here.
Because you were first. Oh.
Oh.
Did I? Oh, I haven't gotten you yet? Well, go ahead.
No. If you don't know yourself and don't know your past or know anything about who you are, you'll always be lost in the feeling. But if you know
All
who
right.
you are, you don't have to worry about somebody else come tell you who you are, which you already know what you are.
Hmm.
Not a woman with her legs open. It's always one with them closed. And you have a good night.
You too, but it's more of them with their legs open. That's why we have the problem we have right now. Okay. Last but not least, let's bring Shasta in. All right, Shasta, the long-lost child, your last word.
Yes. I would just say educate young people. You know, we get older, and now we have all this wisdom, but you have to educate young people. So as they come up, they'll know the correct decisions to make. Always use protection and have conversations with the people that you're going to lay down and have sex with. That's all I want to say.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. And you have a great weekend. You know my number. All right. Well, y'all, my co-host call dropped, so it's just you left with me. Hey, man, another great conversation. It's Freedom Friday. And we started one place and ended up somewhere else, which is always a good thing. It's always a good thing. You know, no matter what we talk about here, you have to understand, everybody's going to have their own opinions and, you know, thought process of how things work. But as we always say on the show, and Mr. International kept saying it, Mr. Solution says it all the time. Well, heck, everybody on the show says it most of the time. You have to do your own research. You know, read. I know that's a bad word for some people, but read. It's there for you. The internet, World Wide Web, it's out there. You know, but some of y'all rather come on here and blow a whole lot of hot air, and you haven't read anything. It's just your theory. Well, it's fine. It's your theory, but have something to back it up. You know, it's too easy. It's too easy. But we make it hard. As far as this thing about men, women, babies, and all that good stuff, well, it's like this. If both of you use contraceptives, if both of you have the discussion before it happens, if both of you just don't do it, we wouldn't be having to have this conversation right here. However, since we do have this conversation, you must understand, and as we have said before, you know, if you do take care of your responsibility, ladies, quit leaving the man out of the decision making. I know about it. It's my body and I'm do what I want to. Yeah, but the guys should have some sort of say in it, you know? Yeah, we know some knuckleheads out there and then do what you want to do or, you know, then, hey, in all honesty, hit them in the pocket hard. But for the ones that's willing to do right, you know, work with them. You know, don't just go out there and say, I'm going to do what I want to and you're just going to have to pay the consequences, whatever my decision is. That's wrong. That's wrong. Men, if you out here having unprotected sex and you having all these kids, you need to stop also. Okay? Because you create more of a problem than a solution. You know, you're the reason why good men are having trouble with these women, because y'all going out there laying, hitting and sticking and running away. You got 26 kids out here and you ain't paying up but $1.05 in child support for each one of them. Really? You sorry, deadbeat son of a gun, you. And for you nasty women out there laying with everybody, keeping your legs open 24/7, hey, let's close it sometime, all right? If you close them sometime, you'd be surprised at how much better you may feel. All right, I'm through, y'all. I'm through. I think I went a little bit too far. Heck no, it's my show. I say what I want to. All right, well, it's been fun, y'all. Of course, Monday is Mad Monday. We're going to have some fun with that, of course. See, my co-host, if you want to reach my co-host, her contact information is Ngonia, N-G-O-N-E-A, at yahoo.com. And she says, please put Mr. Talk on the subject line, and she'll be happy to hear from you. All right, as for me, ericlesstalk@gmail.com. And don't forget, I have the Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. All right, so that's it for me. We're going to get up out of here. Everybody have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for joining us today. Hey, stay safe, and I'll see y'all Monday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. It has been a good one, well, y'all. I am out of here. We'll be right back.
Bye-bye.